Good morning. Oh, my stars. Flip on this, put over there, put this there. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's good to see everybody. I can't find my belt, so there we go. All right. So this morning, we're going to take some time to talk to our missions team that's going to be heading out in March. So I want to invite up Marty and Jessica. Kristen's not with us today. She's away. But if I could have Marty and Jessica come on up, and we'll get you all set up here. Make sure we got mics on. And how are you, ladies? Hippie Skippy. You guys know how to turn this on? Come on. Red button on the bottom. There is no red button on the bottom. Because it's not on.
Is that one different?
Mic's on?
Yours is on. This hand that to David.
There you go.
It is?
That's yeah, the red button. I know my way around the mic.
You know the red button? Oh, my. No, you can hold on to that.
Okay.
Anyway, let's start with a word of prayer, shall we? Father God, I want to thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place. And I want to thank you that you allow us to participate in your perfect plans. How awesome it is to think that you work in us, not simply for our own benefit, but that we might participate in what you intend to do in us and in your church throughout the world, to bring glory to your name, and to announce that the kingdom of God has come and that you desire for all to be reconciled to you and come to know you as Lord and Savior. And Father God, we just rejoice that you allow us to be a part of that. And even with our weaknesses and failings and all the stuff that makes us who we are, you still choose to work through people. And so we celebrate that. And we rejoice in it, and we'll give this time to you as we think about what's coming up this coming March. So we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So as you know, over the last number of years, we've been sending teams to Senegal. And this year is no different. We're going to be sending a couple teams. And the next one's coming up in March. What are the dates at this point?
March 22nd to 31st.
Okay, so March 22nd through the 31st. Okay.
It's a long one.
So it's a long one. So my first question really is why are you taking this trip? Why are we doing this again? And how is it helping the ministry in Senegal? And how is it helping our vision to take grace beyond the wall? So it's kind of a three-parter.
Okay, so why are we taking this trip? Well, the trip or the idea of the mission started when we were on our last trip. You know, that every time we go on a trip, it creates seeds and need for the next trip. So we were in Bill and Kathy's living room, and we were asking them, what can we as Grace do to help here in Senegal? And they said that they had a conference that was coming up in a regional conference in Africa, where missionaries from all over Africa were going to come for our conference. And they said, we need support for that. And Jessica and I said, well, we'll jump in and we'll provide that support. And if it's not a mission that Grace can take on, we'll just take it on ourselves. But Grace and all of its goodness said, no, we want to be a part of that. Let us help. And it started out that we were going to be working with seven different children, and 7 to 12 different children, and providing support. But as time has gone on, new needs have come up, and the people that had the children, most of them are no longer attending because of illness and such that has happened in their lives. So we're going to be working in three areas now. We're going to be providing childcare for the children that will be there. Jessica's in charge of videography and photography and communications. And I'm going to be in charge of administrative support. And again, just like we've done with every mission, we're doing the background work so that those are there, so that those who are there to do the work can either be ministered to, as it is with the African Regional Retreat, or to be able to work more closely with each other. And I think Jessica has something to say on that too.
Sure, I think I'll just add to that. And I think the second part of the question is, so why is the work in Senegal important to us and the Kingdom of God, and is there any future ministry there? And I think Marty definitely started that question. I think that the question is somewhat short-sighted, meaning that the scope is too narrow. I think the question really is, why is the work of missions important to us? And the kingdom of God, furthering that kingdom of God, and then is there future for ministry there? And I think we have no other answer other than an overwhelming yes, right? That is what we're called to. So again, in Matthew 22, Jesus responded to the Pharisees and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. That's our salvation. That's what we have, hopefully, and what we're trying to bring to others. But the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So after our own personal professions of faith, what better way do we have, both personally and as the church, our church, global church, than to love our neighbors by sharing that love? And that's what this group is doing. And so I think the bottom line is grace's service, sending us in other ways that we'll talk about in a little bit. Serving those missionary workers and those global workers in Senegal is furthering the kingdom work, and that's what we're called to do.
Are we, as we look out, too, as you're going into Dakar and ministering to folks, it's my understanding there are people coming in from other parts of Africa to this conference, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is there also a sense in which we're looking to make connections potentially with other areas, other missionaries in other areas of Africa that we might serve in?
I don't think we'd ever close the door to that. There is going to be, as we'll talk to you a little bit more with the prayer cards, we have representatives from Togo, from Nigeria, and honestly, some places we can't discuss that may be present. And absolutely, I don't think that there's, other than the places we can't discuss, I don't think we'd ever close out opportunities to serve anywhere.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that strikes me as you're sharing is that the mission, this trip started in one avenue. It started in one thing. Mm-hmm. And then it began to morph into other areas. And what remained constant throughout was the team's desire to serve. So it didn't matter what the service looked like. What mattered was that heart and that willingness to carry forward with that. And I think it speaks not only to the team, but it also speaks to someone who might want to go into, take a trip in the future, that you go in with a heart that's desiring to serve first and foremost, and then the mission may well morph along the way. Is that a fair?
That's a good assessment, because it always changes. Needs are, everything is so much in flux, so you have to be flexible. But I think there's the intention behind the intention. And the intention to be on the mission, what is behind, and why we can be so flexible when things change, is because the intention behind the intention is to be obedient to God, mm-hmm. and to be to use our time, talent, and our treasure to help perpetuate or open up the knowledge of Jesus to the least known people.
Yeah, and that kind of carries me into the next thought was, you know, I know you've all gone to Dakar before. So what is so compelling about Dakar or this ministry in Senegal, or is that would drive you to use your time, talent, treasure? What is there something you've mentioned? No, behind the scenes is this overwhelming desire to obey God. Oh, I want to do what God calls me to do. Are there other things that are at work that make this ministry compelling?
I think it, for me, draws me out of a comfort zone as I was trying to review some of the questions and how I would be prepared for my answers. Speaking with my husband, and he reminded me, our life here is comfortable. We sometimes become complacent in that comfort. So being there, it's not a matter of necessarily the poverty that jolts you out of that comfort, but it was, for me, the thing that has still carried through since that first trip was the reminder, whether I shoved it down somewhere or not, and I think I answered it even in our decompress from before, was that the lack of the word, and like the Bible, how, I mean, most of you probably have it here today. We've got stacks of them in other places. So people having the Bible in English translated in their heart language is not commonplace, and that was on the forefront for me. And I think we brought Bibles last time, and we're going to talk about the Bible effort today later, but this is the face of some of the pastors, the workers in there, when they're receiving Bibles in languages that their congregants speak, that their congregants, again, and even French, this is the French Bibles, that isn't even the heart language for the vast majority of the people that are attending there. And so for me, it was that. And I was just reminded, our family went to the Museum of the Bible, and I was confronted with an oval room that was filled with essentially these empty shell cases. Some of them were colored, some of them were white. And it is the effort represented of the word being translated all over the world in languages that exist. And when you're confronted with that, that people can't pick up a text. They don't have the word of God for themselves in their homes, on their phones. They don't even necessarily have access to that. That's compelling to me. I see the work that's being done. And I think Senegal is an example, but again, you can pick other places, but for me, that was the part that drew me back, was the work being done there is to get this in the hands of people and to have them understand what it means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, along those same lines, you know, I got up this morning and I had access to a Bible that I could read. I came across the river, and while I was driving, I listened to Sound of Life, which Connie Van Cleek is a manager of. You know, I was able to go to school. I come to the church, and there are ladies who are leading a Bible study. You know, there's discipleship making that's going on. There's a pantry. There are so many things going on that I have access to here with my church family in the United States. And in Senegal, in Dakar, there is sometimes not even a whisper of that available yet. So when I say to God, I am here, I am ready, I am open, I am yours, the call I get from God is to share what you have here in the U.S. with Senegal. And when people come together, like when the regional groups come together, Senegal is one of the hardest countries to break through with Christianity. We just had 21 days of prayer for strongholds. It is one of the hardest places for Christianity to break through, and it has many, many unreached people. And so that compels me. I can't do it all, but I can do that little bit. And so you know, if we all put a drop, if there's a fire and we're all part of the bucket brigade, I don't know if I'm in the middle, the beginning of the fire, the middle of the fire, the end of the fire. But I'm putting Jesus into the fire. You know, I'm putting Jesus into the fire and doing what I can to help spread the word. And I never do it alone. I always do it with the church family behind me. Mm-hmm. I have never done anything, never have I done anything. Even the clothes that we wear, that we're going to wear, because there's a thing where, you know, the people who are together wear the same clothing. Even the clothing that we're wearing is being sewn by Amber, mm-hmm. who's part of our church.
Amber Crispell.
Yes, always. Always the church family is helping out. The pantry, which is one of our ministries, Roy and Sandy from the pantry, they're passing out the prayer cards today. The MOPS group is creating the gift bag. All the adults get a gift bag. Some other church is taking care of that, not ours. And but the gift bag for the children, our MOPS group. They just said, oh, don't put that on the Phyllis suitcase. We're going to do that. Mm-hmm. So they're taking care of all of that. Stanley and Ronald have taken the cars. The children's ministry donated their Hot Wheels cars, and Stanley and Ronald rubber banded them to Skittles so that we're able to share those with the Taliban boys. Jessica will tell you more about that. But, you know, just everybody, Everybody is a part of it. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, all playing a role in that.
Everybody is playing a role to allow us to go and do that work. We even have people in the church who donated money to build the floor at the school. We had people that helped donate so that there would be a car for the Martins to be able to continue their work. And everybody helps in so many different ways.
You know, you were talking, something I want to go back to. You were talking about how hard it is to minister the gospel in Senegal. And there's places all over the world that are practically impregnable. You know, mm-hmm. But you said something in your answer that caught my attention, and that was, and you know, that we go forward, and but it hasn't been accomplished yet. And I love that word. I love that thought, that notion of it hasn't been accomplished yet, because it gives us a sense of that ongoing vision, that ongoing process, that missions work and evangelization and sharing with people the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't a moment in time. It's moments in time. It's a continuing trust that what Jesus said he would accomplish through his people will be accomplished through his people. And I think we have to keep always that horizon line thinking, always. And even if it doesn't happen in our lifetimes, it reminds me of the prophets in the Old Testament who looked out and saw Jesus long before, and they wouldn't actually see his coming, but they knew he was coming, and they talked about his coming. And that just encourages my heart, that sense of vision.
So, and our missionaries there have that sense of vision.
Yeah.
You know? They're creating, they're helping to create programs that can run in the radio, in Chez, and Barb, Deb and Brad are doing that kind of work, and the Martins are doing work at the English school. And, you know, those university students come to the English school, and they learn English through the use of Scripture, and then they go back to their countries, because they're not all from Dakar, and we have a whole group of people who have been exposed to people from America, but they think everyone who's white is a Christian, and they think every Christian is has the same morals as are displayed in our movies. That's what everybody thinks. Every time we go over, every time the missionaries are doing work, and they see us interact with each other with humbleness and grace and authenticity and appropriateness and a dedication to God and our work, they're like, "Wow, we didn't know you guys existed."
Yeah, which speaks
so it's
to
on
the power
so many different
that,
levels.
Yeah, it speaks to that power of a changed life. You know, we don't think of holiness. Sometimes we think of holiness in religious terms, like, oh, yeah, the Scripture calls me to holiness, and that's still, a religious obligation. But it is far, far more profound than that. It's a call to exude in our lives the character of God, that others might see him and be drawn to him. And, of course, we fail at that. We're all weak and in many cases broken. And sometimes broken to the point where we wonder if God can actually work through us at all. But he calls us to continue to commit ourselves to him, to walk in that holiness, so that we might act as a testimony that might counter the culture that they see that floods the entire world. The United States culture goes everywhere, and it precedes us, and it poisons the well so often. Mm-hmm. So you guys have, you've gone off again, you've participated, and a number of times, and I'm wondering, how do you see it having impacted your life here? I mean, Jessica, you spoke a little bit about that, but I'm wondering, has it produced any fruit here in the States?
I hope so, but I think my personal, I think I can only answer that for me, is that I see us, obviously we talk about it, we're champions of it, the freedom that we have here, and I think that in this instance, I'm going to kind of translate that as control. We have control over our lives here that isn't the same in other places of the world, Senegal's example, but it can be translated otherwise. And I think that sense of control that we have, that we see through freedom, allows us to become self-reliant. We're actually less reliant on God. And so I would say that for me that prior to this, I don't think I would characterize my prayer life as healthy. I think I wasn't sure if I knew how to pray. I wasn't sure if I was praying for the right things. I wasn't sure if I just thought I was doing it wrong. So for me, it was safest just not do it. Like, you know, I wasn't participating, I think, in a way that I felt I should be. So I think through being in Senegal, working with those global workers, those missionaries, and I use those terms interchangeably, so forgive me, but working with that team's first, second, 17th, and last inclination is to go to prayer. They are in prayer. And I think it's not just that they're in prayer. For me, it was what they were praying for, how they were praying. And I don't mean the mechanism of saying it. I really mean how they considered prayer, how they integrated it into their life, how they integrated it into the work that they were doing. And I think once I had that, once I started, and if you haven't had a chance to look at these 21 days of prayer that Marty already talked about, I have the booklet, and I really encourage everyone. I think I also have a PDF copy that I'm happy to email, what it is that they've asked for prayer for, and I think you'd be surprised at what the prayer points were if you were not able to participate in that. But I think that some of us need to stop sometimes, and myself included, and remember that we have this absolute gift of 24/7, 365 access from your bed at home, from your easy chair at home, to talk to the creator of the world and to ask him for anything, like to talk with him, to thank him. And I think that is what has changed me and what I've brought back here and it's changed how I've interacted with others, how I've offered to pray, how I offer my own prayer requests in light of my life. And so that, I think, knowing the thread and how that absolutely permeates every part of us, prayer and how we insert it in our lives, has to have an impact here, because I think that I'm more aware of what I'm asking for. And I would even suggest that if you are more in prayer and aware of what your prayer life is, you're also going to be more aware of when God is answering those prayers. And that is extremely encouraging. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, maybe with another question. But another missionary that I work with, he said that courage, the opposite of courage isn't fear, it's discouragement. And I think if we continue in the word and continue in prayer, that those points where you see answers to prayer is the encouragement that we all need to keep praying and keep asking and expectantly for the furtherance of that kingdom. So that was me.
That's cool. No, you did great. You changed?
I think I've changed in that I've expanded to be able to see the big picture. You know, I've been able to see a larger picture in God's work. Like when I say, God, I can do. I've got these skills. I can bring this, but I don't have these skills. You know, and he'll say, "Oh, you know what, sweet pea, you just bring me those skills, and we'll see what we do with those. If that's what you've got, you just bring me those." You know, and then I see them getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and to hear the call and to say yes to the call and to arrange my life so that I can answer the call, that's something, whatever that personal call within me is, you know, because, you know, outside, like within family or in society or just whatever, that's changed in me. And to more often than I have in the past, to put things at the foot of the cross. You know,
to a greater dependence.
A greater dependence, a greater dependence on God and less dependence on ego, which is edging God out. You know, let go of approval, let go of validation, let go of expectation, and just be present.
Yeah, it's a theme in both of what you've said. You know, that notion of it has grown a greater sense of dependence upon God. And when we have that greater sense of dependence upon God, it's amazing how he uses that to open another door that you wouldn't have seen had you not been dependent on God. So often we're so much more dependent. I'm so guilty of this. So often I get all focused on what I can't do what I'm not good at, what I see as failings and the like, instead of just saying, no, I'm just going to bring to the table what I can do. I'm going to offer that to him as worship, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to allow him to open whatever door he needs to open and then walk through that door. And it is interesting as you go forward and you look back and say, oh, my stars, I wouldn't have ever pictured myself here. I would have never guessed that. It's a more organic process. So you guys are going to be on the ground in Dakar in serving. And I'm curious, so how do we as a church family, how do we meaningfully participate in what you guys will be doing?
Sure, and Marty talked about this, but I think I want to start off the answer to this already with a huge thank you. I mean, to everyone, from obviously Wes's support in this, to Karen with putting some of the materials together in the office that we'll talk about, to the people who have already donated, the people who have already prayed, the people who are continuing to pray. We truly thank you guys for being a part of this already. So this isn't, a lot of this isn't going to be new. You're already doing this. And so we really appreciate that. So the first thing I had was prayer. Again, if you haven't heard that already, it's free, it's cheap, it's easy. It may not be easy. It is. I think I was chewing my brain about it. It really is. But so the prayer cards that Marty's showing that you'll be giving out, they are unique every week, as is their color. So they are guided, directed prayer requests that we received from the groups that we will be meeting with at the All Africa Conference. So you'll see requests from Nigeria. You'll see requests from Togo. Four specific asks for them. And I would love to share a great quick story for the group from Nigeria. They asked us for a prayer request that would, I can tell you, Nigeria is not on my radar, okay? But they asked me for a prayer request, and as we were putting these together, the next day on my device, thank you Google, or whoever else is watching, a news story came up regarding Nigeria and the exact prayer request that they had. They were worried about their government was discontinuing currency, high-value currency. The analogy here would be the U.S. government saying, as of May 1st, we're no longer allowing $50 and $100 bills. They're just going to be worth nothing. And so you, between now and May 30 or May 1st, need to go to the banks and turn all those in to get real money, because it's not going to mean anything. And they live in rural areas where a bank isn't right around the corner and in every grocery store. And that was their prayer request, because this was going to lead to riots. This was going to lead to multiple things. This news story, the next day after I curated their request, was that the Nigerian government was extending the deadline for 10 days for those people to have access. And I forwarded it to that missionary, and they hadn't even gotten that news yet. They're in the country, and that news hadn't even reached them. And so these are, like I said, pray for these, absolutely. Please integrate these. They're colorful. Throw them in a book you might be reading as a reminder, wherever it is that will help you prompt to just throw up a quick prayer about it. But God's working on these. These are not throwaway asks. This is the daily life of these missionaries and even some of the American support teams that are working with them. This is their jobs, this is their livelihoods, and these are absolutely critical asks, and God will complete them in his way. And so these are really critical. We will also have a few more options for prayer. We'll be tying them to tea bags with Bisap tea, which is some flowered tea, and giving you the opportunity the week and 10 days that we're away to sit down with a cup of tea and take that prayer prompt and just keep us in mind as we're there and as we're ministering to that group. The second one, I think, as we've hopefully talked about a little bit, is absolutely the Bible, the Bibles that we have. We have two different Bibles out there that we are asking people to sponsor. There is the French Bible, which Marty has, and also this easy read version, which is in English. The cost of these to bring them in and to help us bring them over there is $15. And for the French Bibles, you yourself, your family will have the opportunity to write a note, or at least your family name, that will be placed and glued inside or stickered inside the Bible. And these will be handed out at some of the churches that are active, that are living. And again, the joy that these Bibles bring is fantastic, but your family will be taken with us. And the easy read Bibles in English, we will not be doing that, because these are handed out at the English Center to some of the Muslim students. But please, these are just as critical as we work with those, they work with those Muslim students. They are asking questions. They are seeing, hey, that's not what the imam told me. And there's opportunities for our missionaries to meet with them one-on-one to delve into what it is that's in here that's not what they're being taught. So these are equally important, so please see us out there to sponsor those. We have an encouragement book, and as I talked a little bit about encouragement being, you know, the opposite of courage or discouragement, this encouragement book that we put together, or we'd like to put together, is a coloring page on the front, an opportunity on the back for you to encourage the global workers we're going to see. The children, again, huge thanks for the children who have submitted these. They're fantastically colored, and they're wonderful, and they're very cheery. If you're not into coloring, that's totally fine. But we have a lot of empty backs that could absolutely use some encouraging thoughts, and they don't have to be directed to a specific missionary, but if you'd like to, we do have their names. We really would just love notes of encouragement to accompany those, and ideally, these will be copied. We will have an individual book for each one of the families that we will be ministering to in Africa. So please reach out to us for that. That's another great way for our youth to be involved, as I think we've shared before. The last one, again, has been super fun for me to watch, is the Matchbox cars. And so we really appreciate all the youth submitting them. You know, if you have these lying around, this is what we'll be handing out, either this or with some cookies like an Oreo. And as Marty alluded to, when we are circulating through the city on our own personal time getting food, there are groups of children called Talibay Boys, and they are essentially part of the mosque system. And some families, whether permanently or for the vision of the church, give up their sons to be raised by the church. And they essentially live in poverty and squalor. They're out on the streets, and their role in that ecosystem is to beg for money. And part of that is in the Muslim faith is their spirit of generosity. And someone will have to forgive me, but I describe it as a checkbox that Muslims have to fill to be generous. I'm sure some of them do have a generosity of spirit, but a lot of it truly is, this is what I'm supposed to do. So this ecosystem works by people feeling the need to be generous and these boys begging on corners to fill that need. So they don't have anything of their own. We cannot give them money because any money that they catch needs to go to their older brothers that they work with. So this was an opportunity to give them a snack, a treat, as well as something that they could have of their very own. And just really quickly from, again, that the 21 days of prayer, some of the stories that this isn't a throwaway item either, is that there are boys who have gone through this process of becoming, become an imam, and they have come to faith in Jesus and remember the white Christians coming and the interactions, those small, minute, 1, 2, 3 minute interactions that they had with Christians that they remember later on. And so please see these not as cards and candy, as like a Halloween or Easter. This is a seed that will remain with these children that hopefully someone else in the mission field later will help to plant and water. And so again, this is just as important as some of the other items we're talking about. And again, our fill the suitcase items. Those items are supporting ministry. They are supporting the missionaries personally. They are a little different this time than some of the other items we've asked for in the past. There's absolutely candy. There's line items we can show you. There's some larger items that we didn't necessarily feel that a lot of people would be able to help support. If you can, great. Please come see us. We'll take cash, checks to help support those items. And if not, you know, I've tried to break down support levels for, hey, if you can't support a $50 toner cartridge, if you can give $5, I can tell you exactly how many pages of work pages that will be printed on those to support that work there. So again, any level of support we can bring, all of it is going to those missionaries, obviously. So those are just simple ways. But again, I think prayer is great. Please pray through all of those things, even if you choose to do that. So hopefully I caught everything.
I think you did.
Everything, but the biggest need we have that we cannot, is not the biggest need, but the one need that is hardest to fill is that ride to and from JFK.
JFK,
yeah. That seems to be
We're parking.
That's the toughest. That's the toughest one for us.
That's right. Well, our time is short, and so I think we're going to bring it to a close there. I hope that as a church we'll be reminded that this team goes out really not on their own. It is successful in as much as the Holy Spirit works in and through them, and they center themselves on the Lord But it is uplifted, and it is successful to the extent that we as a church family will continue to be praying for them and continuing to lift them up and supporting their efforts with our time, with our talents, with our treasure. And every time you give to Grace Church, a percentage of your offering goes to world missions. And just, you know, keep that in mind as you're giving. You're not just giving for the operations to keep lights on and the like, although that is part of the offering. But you're also giving to all these endeavors to reach beyond the walls and going far away, far away. We'll talk more about that another time, ministering both here, near, and far. You're going to hear that language more and more at Grace. But for now, because of our time, what I'd like to do is maybe just bring us to a close in prayer, and we'll keep on going. Father God, I want to thank you for Jessica and Marty and Kristen. I want to thank you for that heart that desires to serve you, to be obedient to you, and then is willing not just to offer themselves as obedient, but actually to respond. To act. And Father, I pray that would be true of all of us, that we would be more than just listeners of the word, that we would be more than people who study the word. We would be a people who would live with our lives, would give our lives for you and for your purposes so that others may come to know Jesus Christ, be it here in our workplaces and in this local community or near. You know, maybe somewhere in the United States or in Albany or, you know, down in the lower Hudson Valley or far away like in Senegal. And so, Father, I pray, give us that heart. Give us that heart that sees beyond the walls, that sees people the way you see them and desires that they would know the living God, that they would know the living God. So I entrust this team into your care and keeping. I entrust the church family into your care and keeping. I pray for their adventure coming up. May you be praised. May you be lifted up through it all. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.